Good Shabbos, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. I want to thank everyone who attended the gala last Sunday and all the member volunteers who brought about such an amazing event. Miriam and I are very touched by the outpouring of love for us, for the shul, and for McCourt's contributions to Center City Jewish life. And of course, all of us in the McCourt community are grateful for the fundraising aspect, since the money we raised will help keep us going strong despite our increased expenses, especially the costs of our new space. These successful fundraising events are vital to our shul's survival, so thank you again to everyone who participated. Oftentimes when I speak about the shul, I not only speak in the capacity of a rabbi, but also as its CEO of sorts. Some people don't think a rabbi should serve as the CEO of a synagogue, because the business side of things and the religious side of things should remain separate. I would posit that the Torah teaches otherwise, and that connecting these two disparate concepts might give insight into how we can continue our successful run as a community going forward. In this spirit, our parsha very provocatively connects money and economics to the source of Jewish spirituality. Parshat Mishpatim speaks primarily about civil and monetary law, and that main section is sandwiched between two sections of the Torah that speak about Ma'amad Har Sinai, the revelation at Sinai, which is the single most important event which embodies our connection to God. Rashi points out that we can literally see the connection, because Parshat Mishpatim begins with the letter Vav, which means and, a conjunction, which signifies a continuation of a text that preceded it. By using this sequence, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us, don't think that economics is separated from the revelation at Sinai. Similarly, our Parsha ends by returning to the events at Mount Sinai, telling us how the Jews respond to God's offer of the Torah by declaring Naseh v'nishma, we will act and we will listen. I think the Torah is clearly teaching us from this sandwich, so to speak, that we can't separate economics from spirituality. But what exactly is the connection between these two spheres of life? The most simplistic answer is that we shouldn't be dishonest when we engage in business. But the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, that we deal with this issue of money of honesty in business dealings in the first section of the Mishnah, Seder Zra'im, which deals with the laws of agriculture, not Seder Nizikin, where we find the laws of business. Also, honesty is only one component of the Torah's approach to business. Jewish business law is much more encompassing. As we find in the Parsha, it addresses a long, detailed list of cases involving tort law, borrowing and lending money, contractual law, employment law, charitable obligations, and other facets of civil law. And in Seder Nizikin, the general section of the Talmud dealing with civil law, we find a multitude of additional details in other related cases, hundreds of pages of such details, in fact. On the face of it, most of this hair-splitting analysis doesn't seem pertinent to spiritual issues. But if you look closer at the obscure cases in our Parsha and found in Seder Nizikin, you can discern two very distinct principles about a Torah-based economic society. The first is based on the Gemara Masechet Bava Kama Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where every section of the Mishnah is linked to a word in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Lama Gimel Pasuk Vav. V'haya emunat itecha, chosen yeshuot chachmat v'da'at, yirat Adonai hi otzoro. It's intriguing to note that the Gemara connects the entire section of Nizikin, civil law, to the word yeshuot, salvation. Why salvation? Instead of giving a lofty explanation, Rashi gives a mundane, pragmatic one. If you study Nizikin, Jewish civil law, you know where to draw the line. And if you don't impose on someone else's ownership, you'll prevent financial loss and thereby achieve yeshuot, or salvation. Rashi really gets it. I mean, what greater salvation could there be for the Jew than to save money? This principle of Jewish law is the principle of self-interest, which is the foundation of capitalism. It's vital for each of us to find an incentive to acquire our own assets, because we will engage in the economy in an attempt to improve our own standard of living. The second very different principle of Jewish economic law is beautifully illustrated with the prohibition of taking interest on a loan. In our current secular society, we view interest as a normal thing. Why else would I lend you money if not to collect interest? How could the Torah suggest that a society would function effectively without interest rates, which could be considered the lifeblood of a thriving economy? But the Torah says otherwise. It tells us that taking interest can be very destructive to an economy, because there is a big difference between taking a loan and a transaction that Jews to this day convert ordinary loans into by using what is known as a heter iska. A heter iska is a document that basically turns a loan into a business venture, perhaps a technicality, but an essential one. In order to run a successful society, we must be invested in the businesses of other people within our economic system. We must own a share in the endeavors of others. Our interest must connect to real property and real ventures, not simply to money and valuations. When I'm part owner in someone's business venture, I will care about it. If I simply collect interest, I don't care whether you succeed or not, as long as I have rights to the collateral. This technicality of heter iska requires us to knowingly categorize our business transactions in a more personal way than a purely financial deal. In the United States, our secular society certainly recognizes the first principle of self-interest, but the second principle of making investment as opposed to taking interest doesn't receive the same attention. As Jews, however, we are taught to strive to follow both principles, personal incentive as well as investing in the success of others. Which brings us back to the business of the shul, which I said I believe is not an oxymoron. For a healthy shul society, both of these principles are fundamental as well. I think that the gala last Sunday highlighted why our community is so special. Everyone present at the gala has some level of incentive and self-interest, something fundamentally beneficial to them that being part of the Mekor community provides them. And they've invested in the success of the shul in some significant manner, financially or otherwise. Our formula for success going forward is not simply to be a place that is funded, but an organization made up of members who benefit from and are invested in our success. With CEO business glasses on, I believe that Be'ezrat Hashem, this will translate into a very bright future for our Makor HaBracha community. Shabbat Shalom.